You know, I just like to talk to you on Wednesday night, you know, just like talk to a family, and I guess we call ourselves the Rhema family, and I guess I'm the head of the Rhema family. but in life, we're looking for success, and in our relationships, and in our walk with God. You know, there's one subject that actually controls all that. And it's actually just a four-letter word. L-O-V-E. Love. If you want a title, they always want some titles in it. You can call it the power of love. In Mark 12, 30 and 31, in the New King James, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And many people say they have a problem with that because there's no other commandment greater than these. They say, "Well, what about the Ten Commandments?" I'm going to tell you what: if you walk in love, you won't break any of the ten. You know, here actually Jesus is talking and he tells us how to love God, how to love others. And, you know, he told us to walk in love and to live in love, and said without, faith works by love. So it's possible for us to do that. Now, some people think, I don't know whether we can do that or not. Well, it's possible. You know, I've heard some people just say, "Well, I can't love so-and-so, you know, what they done," or somebody gets mad at another person over something. And really, the problem is they're not willing to do it. There's no such thing as you can't do it. It's being willing to walk in love. And actually, from looking at what the Word of God has to say, I believe it's somebody said, "Well, it's a love." No, it's a necessity. If we're going to have a successful spiritual life and natural life, we're going to have to learn how to walk in love. Now, you know, here in John 13:34, he said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." One man has said the distinguishing mark of the Christian life is love. So we could say the love of God is what is one of the things that identifies us as Christians. You know, there's a fella that I'm named after, Kenneth E. Hagin. I'm Kenneth W. He was known as the modern day father of faith. But you know, to the people that knew him, they were more impressed by his love walk than by his faith. In fact, were any of you at his memorial service, you remember most of the people that said something at the memorial service talked about his love walk. For myself, there were three distinguishing things about my dad. One, his prayer life. Secondly, the way he walked in love. And thirdly, his faith. And so I told one guy one day, he said, "You know, your dad, he had such strong faith." I said, "Yeah, that's because faith works by love, and he had a stronger love walk with walking in love." In fact, my mom used to say to him, I remember this. There was a man another minister talking to Dad about another minister, and Dad was just, you know, he was being very kind and not saying anything. And finally, my mother said to him, I don't know, I must have been in my late teen years. And she said, Kenneth, why don't you just tell him the truth? And he said, well, I don't want to hurt anybody. He might have changed because he was sort of a scoundrel. I mean, I was old enough to know that myself. And I thought the same thing when he was talking. Mama just said it. There are two books out there in the bookstore that I think are a couple of the most important books out there. One of them is Dad's book, Love the Way to Victory, and my little mini book called Faith Works by Love. You know, those two books will really help you. Especially if you have trouble when people do things wrong or say things about you, if you have trouble forgiving them. You know, Strong's Concordance says that love is mentioned 310 times in the New King James Bible. It's a major topic. Now, Dad said this in that book, The Love, the Way to Victory. The Bible encouraged us to make the love of God our great aim and our great quest in life. So, if we're to walk in love, then we need to know the possibilities and how that it's possible for us to walk in love. Romans 5:5. I'm going to give several translations on this. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now the old Living Bible, not the New Living Bible, the older Living Bible says, we know how dearly God loved us, and we feel this warm love everywhere within us because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. The voice says the Holy Spirit that was given to us has flooded our hearts with God's love. Another translation says, we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives within us. So actually, these verses are telling us that the Holy Spirit, the love of God, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That means we have God's love in us, and we can love like God does. See, you may not be able to love somebody in the natural, but with the love that God has poured into your heart, you can do it. I didn't say it'd be easy, but I said you can do it. All right? You know, some people have trouble on their Christian journey because they don't know, they haven't been taught, and they don't know enough about the love walk. See, you need to know before you can do. You can't accomplish something that you don't have any information on. Now, you see, God does not expect us to love on our own ability. It's not possible. God expects us to take His love and love others. Now, I'm not telling you that it's going to be easy, like I said a while ago. Now, when we start talking about love, people go all the way to the other side of the spectrum. You don't have to be a doormat to be walked upon. You know, God didn't intend for you to be abused and manipulated by other people. You have to deal with problems as they come, but you can do it and still be in a love walk. Hello? You know, one of the hardest things that I had to deal with, and in fact, when I was about 17, I guess, I when people say things about me, I don't care. You know, hey, I'll take care of myself. But they talk saying bad things about my dad. And we was in some kind of convention. And there's a bunch of us teenagers up in the balcony. And then they was having this board meeting deal convention down there. And somebody said something. One of them guys said something about my dad. And guess what? My right hand just wouldn't stay still. Now, that wasn't in love. But, and then, you know, even after I started working for Dad, and they saying all these things about him, you know, and all this, I said, Dad, I'm tired of this mess. You know, what, I'm 31, 32 years old. I said, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's rent one of these big stadiums and let all of those people that are talking and saying all this mess, let them have half of the stadium. We'll take the other half of everybody that's been healed, filled with the Spirit, saved, and blessed under your ministry, and we'll put them over here, and let's just see. He said, no, son, that ain't the way to handle it. You know, people taking verbal shots at me, but when they started talking about my mom, my dad, my family, hey, I bristle. It's difficult to learn. I had to learn. Dad helped me to learn how to suffer long in these things that were being said. You know, because I had seen him do what God asked him to do, and without go without. I'd seen the family we had to do without some stuff, you know, some of the material comforts. But because he didn't compromise, in the end, we came out way on top. And I hate to have to say this, but many, many of the ministers that said something against him, their life was shortened and all kinds of things. You have to be able to suffer long. In my little book on page 15, I said, it's very difficult to suffer long when things are set against my father. I know he's done what God asked him to do through the years, and he's done it without material comforts because he wouldn't compromise. You know, we can love God and love others because God loved us first. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he loved us first. The Living Bible says it. So you see, our love for him comes as a result of his loving us. You know, if you listen to somebody talk, some people talk, even some ministers and some teachers, you know, you would think God is mad at everybody and he's just waiting with a hammer ready to come down on you. You know, listening to them those kind of people doesn't want you to, man, you don't want to get close to God because he's gonna knock you down. No, actually, when we're ugly, when we were still in sin even, he paid no attention to that, and he sent his love to us. 1 John 4:9-11. 1 John 4:9-11. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. The Voice Bible says, because of this, the love of God is a reality among us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we could find true life through him. This is the embodiment of true love. Not that we have loved God first, but that he loved us and sent his unique son to a special mission to become an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You know, we think about love and we talk about the love of God, but can you imagine sending your son, your child, to give his life or their life for somebody else? Boy, y'all are awful quiet. How many of you have children in here? Could you imagine letting go? I can't. I have a hard time even fathoming that. That's a love that's beyond anything that we know. But according to the scripture, that same kind of love has been implanted into us so that we can love others. He said, love the Lord your God and then love others and love yourself. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, you don't love yourself. Well, God told you to. Come on. You know, before we ever loved God, he loved us. Even when we weren't thinking about God, he loved us. You know, when someone does something to you that's wrong, causes you a problem, calls you things, just remember how God loved. Amen. You know, somebody said to me it hadn't been very long ago, have you ever Googled your name? Don't go do it, please. But I know some of you have. There's all kinds of stupidity and stuff that's said. And somebody said, doesn't that bother you? And I said, no. First of all, half of them are just taking what somebody else says and they don't even know the truth. And the ones that really know the truth that are saying something, they're doing it out of spite and jealousy. And they're the ones that's going to have to pay for it, not me. I forgive them. You know, somebody said, man, how can you do that? I said, because God has put a love in my heart for people. We drove by a wreck here just the other day. We were somewhere and drove by a wreck. And immediately, my heart of love went out, and I started. Off of 44 there, and there was a truck and a whole two or three other cars way down in the ditch, and they had just opened the freeway back up. And as I drove by, I just reached a hand. And I said, "Lord, minister to them, help them." That's that kind of love is what's on the inside of it. It raises up. Even when people have wronged you. But that compassion should be there when you see something like that. Sometimes we don't feel like walking in love. When one does something hurtful to us, or the enemy brings thoughts of somebody. You know, you sometimes encounter people that have done you wrong. And you walk up to them and you say, hello, how are you? And give them a hug. Now that's walking in love. It hasn't been but several weeks ago, I saw a person. I shook their hand, hugged them. And it was another individual caught me later, and he said, I saw what you did. I know about that situation. I don't know if I could have done that or not. I told him, I said, you have to. That's what walking in love is all about. You know, you can't hold grudges and not walk in love. And there are too many people that they're not walking in love, and that's why their faith is not working. Because faith works by love. Scripture plainly says it. You know, in my book, Faith Works by Love, I said, a study of God's love can show you the best way to live. You know, walking in love sets you up for victory and success. You know, sometimes people, they got the wrong idea about walking in love. Some people think if you're soft-hearted, you're walking in love. Some people think that if you get all emotional when somebody starts talking about God and you see a situation, they think they're walking in love. No, that's just the compassion of love. Some think that if they let another person have their way, even when it hurts, then that they're walking in love. All this could be true, but that's not really walking in love. Fortunately, the Apostle Paul gave us the clear cut, no holds barred description of how to live in love. In 1 Corinthians 13, everybody knows it. You've read it many times. I realize what I'm saying tonight probably is not, you're not going to be shouting. I also realize that you're probably going to be quiet, but I want you to get a hold of what I'm talking about, because it is the true path to success. Love is always glad for the prosperity and promotion of others and willing to take a back seat. 13:4 says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. I have told people that have come to me over the years working in the church and in the ministry. I remember very distinctly when I was an associate pastor, my father-in-law, one individual came to me and they were upset because my father-in-law had put another person in a leadership position and they thought they should have it. And I told them, I said, let me tell you something. By you being envious and going around talking about this, you're never going to get a leadership position. But I said, if you'll walk in love and go tell that person, hey, I will help you to be a success in this position. Actually, the person I was talking to was probably more qualified. And Lynette, don't ask me who it was. I can't remember the person, but I remember the situation. Y'all ever done that? Remember a situation that happened, but you can't remember who the person? Huh? Anybody done that? Oh, I got help in here tonight. And so that person did that, and it wasn't very long before another leadership position come open that was better, and they got it. You see, they took the back seat and went to that individual and told them, I can help you. I'll help you. See, that's what love does. Love doesn't go around doing things against other people and telling tales, even though there might be some truth in it. Verse 5 said, I'm reading this from the Amplified version, the classic edition of Amplified. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights. Well, that's a good one. Or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Verse 6 says, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right prevails. I have seen people rejoice when something happened. They say, well, they got what they deserved. That's really walking in love. Love always believes and says the best about others. Verse 7, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ready to believe the best of every person. And its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. You know, is ready to believe the best about a person. When somebody is talking to you about somebody else, if it's not the best, just tell them, hey, listen, my ears are not garbage cans. Would you please just be quiet? Sometimes I've had some people talking about somebody, and I turn around and I turn it around and say, well, what about this? They did this and they did that. And I take that person and start talking about the good in that person instead of the bad. You know, love always comes out on top. It'll outlast every attack. Verse 8 says, love never fails, never fades out, never becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Here, these verses describe to us the way love responds to every situation and all people. Love always behaves itself, and love never takes advantage. Lynette and I, sometimes we have sat and laughed because, you know, people have taken advantage of us in some areas. And, you know, I just say, well, praise the Lord. God bless them. I never try to go and redeem anything. Never try to get that. That's it. That's just it. Love doesn't tell all kinds of tales. You know, my father-in-law, V. Tipton, some of you knew him because he was here with us for a while. And he had this story that I heard him use it many, many times as I sat with him in talking to people and counseling. And especially if they come with a garbage pail full of everything against everybody in the church and they wanted to change everything. He said, you know, there was this man and he always said nice things about everybody. Never said anything bad about anybody. And one day at the funeral of the meanest man in town, he stood. The people said, what in the world is he going to say about this no good rascal? After looking at the man for a little while in the casket, he said, he sure did have pretty teeth, didn't he? And then my father-in-law would say, and you know, if I was you, if I couldn't say something nice, I believe that I'd just keep my mouth shut. This session is over. I'm serious. If you knew, wouldn't he do something like that? He was very, very that way. You know, when Paul wrote these verses to the Corinthian church, if you'll study, you'll find out that there is all kinds of strife, carnality, division, everything else going on in the Corinthian church. And he's trying to straighten them out. Now, if you'll study the Corinthian church, you'll find out they had all kinds of what we call a Holy Ghost meeting, or some of you do anyway. I call every meeting a Holy Ghost meeting, no matter. You don't have to shout to have a Holy Ghost meeting. Just because somebody's shouting is no sign they're walking in love. See, just because they were doing, I've studied this, read it in the Bible, and then I studied it in school, and the history of that. And I'll tell you what, he was trying to straighten them out. See, if they needed it, and it could straighten them out, then it can straighten us out. We need to walk in love. You know, use these verses as guidelines. You know, sometimes when a person says or does something to you, stop. If necessary, go read these verses. You probably all got them on your phone anyway, or your iPad that you have in your hand, before you say anything. It'll change the way you probably would are going to respond. You know, you may need to put these verses on a little card and carry it around with you. And when something happens, get it out and read it. You know, you may have to read these verses many times before you can act accordingly with them. Uncle Dub, Dad's oldest brother, he come back to the Lord after many years. He lived around here for a while down there in the trailer house down there by the maintenance building. Anybody remember Uncle Dub living down there? One day he told me, he said, Kenneth Wayne, he always called me that. He said, I have to read the love chapter in 1 John about 4 or 5 times a day to keep from knocking somebody's head off around here. I said, well, Uncle Dub, that's good. Just keep reading them. But that's what he said. You know, one of the hardest things that I ever did, I guess, one of the hard things, I mean, I am a seasoned minister, been in the ministry, 5-6 years. I'm at a convention. I'm trying to get meetings. And these guys that I was in Bible school that are pastors, got nice churches, and they know I'm scheduling meetings. And they're scheduling these first, second, third year, and fourth year Bible college students to come and preach in their church. I did that when I was in Bible school. And you know, man, so a few years later, one of these guys, he said, oh, Hagin, man, I could really use your help, man. You got a worldwide ministry, and if you come and preach at my church, it would really help me. And I thought to myself, when I needed you, you didn't need me. And now I don't need you. That was my first thoughts. But I looked at him and I said, okay. I said, I have a full schedule. But if the Lord lays it on my heart, I'll adjust the schedule and come. Somebody said, did you ever go? No, the Lord never did. I didn't. The Lord never said nothing to me about it, so I didn't go. I told him if the Lord, because I had a full schedule, I would have had to cancel something for it to go. You know, when I needed him, I didn't have nothing. I didn't have nowhere to go to preach. And if you've ever been in the traveling ministry, I say I was an evangelist for all those years until 85 when I started this church. And over the years, God has changed me more to a pastor teacher. But some of you can remember when I used to preach like preach hard and fast for 35 minutes. Anybody remember when I used to do that? But you see, every ministry has its own way of presenting the gospel. And somebody said, well, why does the evangelist? Because it's exploding on the inside of him. What I'm doing tonight is line on line, precept on precept teaching. You got it. When it's all over, you have to make a verdict. But the evangelist preaches with vim, vigor, and vitality to inspire people to jump out of their seat and run to the altar before they realize what they're doing. That's inspiration. That's what the evangelist does. Now, the pastor teacher, he lays it out, and when it's all said and done, it's up to you. You're the one that has to make the decision. All right? See, love helps us overcome everything. Love gives you strength to continue into difficult times, and I'm overtime. And love gives you power to overcome what is said about you. Love gives you the ability to do good for those that are doing evil to you. You know, when we walk in love, our faith will work. When we walk in love, nothing will hinder us from receiving the blessings of God. Once again, in my little book, Faith by Works by Love, I said, when you get this kind of love, you will not be content to be mediocre and stay in a corner and barely make it to heaven. You will be a success even when you're not trying. We need to remember God's power in love. The love of God is greater than any hate. The love of God is greater than any evil. You know, depend upon God to help you. Walking in love will cause you to reap great spiritual benefits. And while you're reaping the great spiritual benefits, natural benefits will manifest in your life. When you're walking in love, God is working on your behalf. Promotions will come. What you need will be there. Money will come. Because when you're walking in love and you're believing God for stuff, your faith will work. Just a little bit of talking to you about the power of love. And there's two books, like I said, back there. Faith, Love, the Way to Victory. Can you, Miss Lynette wants to add a scripture. That's what a good helpmate does.
You know, I normally never do this, but I will say that my husband, what he's preached, he's always operated in. He's always operated in love. He never holds anything against anybody. Well, confession time for me was that has not always been my case. And
I learned it growing up in Dad's house.
That's right. So it was easy for him because, you know, all of his life he saw that. It wasn't easy for me. I was not of a temperament. I love people that love me, but it was hard for me to love people that didn't love me and that would do things against me. And so I would ask him, I'd say, honey, how do you do that? You just do, honey. You just do. Well, that, you know, sometimes that doesn't work. You just do. And so
that's all I need to say. Because so that's what I do. I just do it.
So I ask his dad, Brother Hagin, Dad, you know, how do you do? You just do. You just do. Well, I said, that doesn't help me either. So, but you know, God is the one that helps us. And that's what I thought that this would help you. Because it helped me. And so this is what the Lord told me. He said, go to Matthew 5:44. You need to read this. And it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Because those are the people that you don't want to love, right? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And here's the key. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I'll tell you what. When you start praying for somebody that you don't love, it will make a change in your life. And so the Lord instructed me. There was this one particular situation that I was having a hard time with. I was having a hard time loving. I was having a hard time forgiving. I was just really having a hard time. Because when I would see that person, although I wouldn't go the other way, I wanted to go the other way. And so therefore, I knew that I really, that love was not there. That forgiveness was not there. And so the Lord said to me, he said, the first scripture that you read every morning is this. And as I read that first scripture every morning and started praying for that person, started praying for that situation, I want to tell you what, as you read that day after day after day after day, finally that love begins to be manifested. Did it take a week? No. Did it take even a year? No. It took me several years, but I want to tell you what, when I passed that test, I don't care what anybody does to me now. Instantly, I forgive, I love, I don't think about it. I pass that test for good. And if you'll do that, and if you'll pass that test on a situation that you have such bitterness about, and I just sense that there are people here that have a lot of bitterness about a situation. You've been harboring that for years and years and years. If you'll start practicing this, it'll make a change in your life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just stand up and thank God for the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. And we can walk in love. Father, I thank you right now for the love of God that's inside of us. I thank you that as we have spoken tonight, I thank you that each individual has begun to receive what they need to receive from this message, and that they will do what is necessary, make adjustments as necessary so that they can walk in the love that you have in their heart. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just reading this. Craig sent this out a little while ago. Excited to minister tonight in Trinidad. It's a packed house. And he showed some pictures. And he said, even though, you know, I don't know, you may have seen the news, they had an earthquake in Venezuela and in Trinidad, Tobago. And he said, he's fine where they're at. It's fine. So praise the Lord. He'll be there all week ministering. So pray for him. And praise the Lord. Hey, did you get anything tonight? You know, like my dad used to say, you can say amen or oh me. Hey, connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them to get that special gift that we got prepared for them. And if you happen to be looking for a church home first-time guest, what we say, church? Welcome home. Come on, join our family. We have a great time serving God unlimited around here, both unlimited naturally and spiritually. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, hey, remember all the announcements Brother Bill was talking about a while ago? Okay. Sunday morning right here, come believing, come expecting. Shake hands with somebody and say, I plan to walk in love. What about you? God bless you. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you need salvation, you need healing, you need the Holy Spirit, come to the front. The ladies are here. The men are over here. They'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now. God bless.